Today's program is brought to you by Tabard Inn, new American cuisine in one of Washington, D.C.'s oldest hotels, located in DuPont Circle. For more information, visit tabardinn.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
Welcome to Food Without Borders, a show about food, politics, and identity. I'm your host, Sari Kamen, and you are listening to heritageradionetwork.org. I'm in the studio in the back of Roberta's Pizza in Bushwick, Brooklyn, with my guest today, Yowande Komolafe. Hello.
Hello.
Yowande was born in Berlin and raised in Lagos, Nigeria. She's a recipe developer, a food stylist, a photographer, and a culinary consultant. She's the owner of Four Salt Spoons Creative Space and the creator of the dinner series, My Immigrant Food Is... So happy that you're here, Yowande. Thank you so much for joining us in the studio.
Thanks for having me.
You have such an interesting background, so I think I'd love to start with that. I know you were born in Berlin, but not raised in Berlin.
Yeah, so we left... my parents met in Berlin as students. My older brother and I were born there, and we moved back to Nigeria when I was 3. He was 5.
So your parents are Nigerian, but they were living
in
Berlin.
They are from Nigeria. Yeah, they're both Nigerian. They're both Yoruba. And they met there because my grandmother was living in Berlin teaching, which is kind of crazy to think about. Like, she was living in Berlin in the 60s and, like, teaching.
Oh, that is really interesting. Like, before the wall came
down.
Yeah,
before the wall came. I know, like, my parents have all these stories of, like, crossing the borders and, like...
Really? I would be so interested. Do you know any of them? I mentioned to you before the show, I lived in Berlin for 3 months about a year and a half ago, and I was constantly just trying to picture what that would have been like.
It was crazy because my birth certificate says West Berlin. Mm-hmm. So it was still divided at that time. And I remember... sometime in the 80s, I think, all right, I'm actually not sure what date, what the wall came down, but like
89.
Yeah. So I remember my mom watching it and crying, and I had no concept of like what that was about, but I just remember her like, I can't believe the wall's coming down.
Yeah.
So they have all these stories of like them living there before the wall came down.
Wow. And it's really crazy because there's a good chunk of the wall is still
left.
Standing
mm-hmm.
and it's turned mm-hmm. into, it's an art gallery. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, there's all these panels and they're murals. And people talk about how there was police on both sides.
Yeah,
and if you attempted to cross it, like if you tried to climb over it and go to the other side, they would shoot you.
Yep.
And there was dogs that would come at you.
Yeah.
And it's just so terrifying.
Just incredibly terrifying. And to think that my parents were living there as immigrants, as like African immigrants.
Oh my God.
In Berlin, like experiencing, I wonder what that experience was like. But yeah.
I think it would be hard to be an African immigrant in Berlin today. I mean, just because it's not that diverse.
Yeah. I haven't been back.
Yeah.
So I can't. I don't have stories of going back and knowing exactly mm-hmm. what it's like, but I'm sure it is.
I actually got introduced to like a small Rastafarian community that's living there.
Interesting.
Yeah, there's like a cool small like vibe that's happening.
Yeah, so. And I know some of the people my parents went to college there with stayed.
Mm.
So like I know there's still a Nigerian community there of sorts, but yeah, I haven't been back, so.
Well,
that's a trip waiting
come back,
to happen.
After that happens, come back and we'll
absolutely,
talk about it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you moved to Nigeria.
So we moved back to
Lagos.
Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up there. I lived there until I was 16. So I went to elementary school, high school, and then I moved here to the United States for college. And I've been here ever since.
Well, what made you want to leave Nigeria and come here for college?
You know, so it was always, my parents left Nigeria to go to college, and I think they really enjoyed that experience. And so it was just always a thing that we were going to do as well. It was like we were going to go to Europe. It was like between going to Europe or like coming to the United States, and we picked the United States because my parents had experienced Europe, so we wanted some other type of experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we had family here. We had more family here than we had in England or in Berlin.
I read that you didn't cook much during your childhood, but you started cooking after you moved to the United States. But what was like the food culture like when you were growing up? Did your mom or your dad cook a lot?
Yeah, so my mom's actually a food scientist. So oh. I know. So I didn't do much cooking growing up because she was always the one in the kitchen. I would help her. And I think a lot of my love for food and for like the recipe development process comes from her. But I didn't do much cooking growing up. And it wasn't until I moved here that I realized that I was interested in food. So I actually, before I went to college, I had the choice to go to culinary art school. And I talked to my parents about it, and they're like, no, you should go get a real degree, as like most African parents are.
Right.
But,
and most parents.
Yeah, well, I guess most parents in general. But yeah, so we went to, I decided to go to college first and got a degree, and then moved right to culinary art school because that was always a passion of mine. Like, I always loved food. I probably didn't have the words for it at that point, but I knew that I wanted to have a career in food. And when I moved here and realized, like, you could actually, you could be a chef, like, you could work as a chef and make it your career, I decided to do that.
So why was that a surprise to you? Like, how was that different from Lagos in Nigeria?
I think that cooking was never really thought of as a job. It was something that you did. It was like a way of life. So I think when growing up, thinking of jobs and careers, it was like you were a scientist, you were a lawyer, you were a doctor, like very academic-based careers.
Right, like your mom was in food, but she was a food scientist.
But she was a food scientist, and my dad was like an engineer. So like I just never realized that you could have a creative career and have that as like a job that would support you.
Yeah. I also like that like every seventh word, your accent comes out.
Oh, really?
It's like very subtle and I'm enjoying it.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. When you moved to the United States and you went to college, what did that feel like? Was it like a shocking experience to come here?
You know, I don't remember that experience.
You just blacked out?
Yeah, you know, I think, exactly. Well, okay, so I'll try to remember it. So I remember moving here, but I think that because I moved here so young, I was sort of just doing what I was told to do. It was like, you're going to go to the United States and you're going to go to college. And so like I felt like that time of my life was just a period where I was doing what I was told. It was like, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. And I was doing it without really considering, like, if that was me now, I would like scrutinize every single angle of it and like try to consider like, well, what if I did this? But like, at that time, I think that it was just something that I was doing. It wasn't this, if I tried to make a move now and move to another country, like that would be a huge thing. But at that time, I just felt like it was something I was doing. Like I never stopped for a moment to like consider it.
So you never felt kind of self-conscious as an outsider?
Not, I feel like that came later. Like that came as I acclimated, and that came as I like, that came with maturity as well, I think. But at that time it was all very new, and I was taking in so much that there was never the moment where I stopped to consider.
Right. Like you were just too present.
Exactly. I was, and I don't think it wasn't until like I had a moment to just settle into my life that I started to think about like being an immigrant or like, you know, like, what does that mean? Like, oh my God, I'm doing the same thing my mom did at 16. She moved to England. I moved here, you know,
it's and started to make that. No one pointed that out to you, to the, you know, like no one made you feel that way, or maybe you were just oblivious.
I know, I was probably just oblivious to it.
Where did you go to college?
I went to the University of Maryland in Baltimore County.
I mean, that's real different than Africa.
Yeah. But you know what? Like my first experience was actually moving here to live with an aunt in Newark, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And now that I look back on it, I'm like, holy shit, like I moved here by myself and you know, I was like taking the bus by myself and like doing all these things that I had never done before.
Taking the bus still scares me. I've lived in New York for 15 years.
I totally still have a reaction to taking the bus. Yeah. But like, you know, there were all these things that I was doing and I was really just acting and not really considering what I was doing.
Right. So let's talk about when you started to cook.
Yes.
When was that, and what sort of shifted for you that you realized that was something you wanted to do?
So I think I've always baked. Mm-hmm. Like, that has always been something that I
That makes so much sense to me, having a science background.
Yeah,
now, I can't bake at all, and it's just that part of my brain that I just can't
It's
access.
A part of your brain, absolutely. Yeah. But I also like to think that everybody can do most things in life. And you're like giving me a look. Mm. But no, so I've always baked. So I went to school and I started as a biochem major. I realized really quickly that I hated chemistry. So I became a biology major and then realized that I still hated chemistry and I still needed it. So I became a psychology major with like a minor in biology. But after college, I decided that like I really wanted to like see what this food thing was all about. So I immediately like enrolled myself in a culinary arts program at the local school there. I needed a certain number of hours working in a restaurant, and I went to a Nigerian restaurant.
On purpose.
well, because I knew that like I knew the food, I was comfortable with it. And
I'm amazed that there was a Nigerian restaurant.
There was, and it still exists too. It's called Paige's Kitchen, and it's in Baltimore, Maryland. So I went there and like got the hours that I needed. I worked there with the family who runs it, who are still dear friends of mine. But so I think in college I baked throughout college. After college was my first experience like working in a restaurant. And then I enrolled in culinary arts school. And it all sort of just made sense to me. Like, I think college was a sort of a blind experience where I was just doing what I was told.
That you don't
but
remember.
Yeah, like, but I don't remember. And not even for all the great reasons. And most people don't remember college. But after college, I went to culinary arts school. And I felt like that was one decision that I made that was, like, mine. It was like, I want to cook. And, like, this is what I'm doing for myself. And I feel like after culinary arts school and after my experience there, like feeling like I knew what I was doing and like I was getting good grades and I was like at the top of all my classes, that experience like sort of enabled me to like look at the restaurant industry and say like, that's what I want to do. Like, that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was really the turning point, I think, when I enrolled in culinary arts school.
And cooking at the Nigerian restaurant, did that, it seems like it sort of unlocked something for you in terms of, you know, you going on and trying to really explore the food of your heritage. What did it evoke for you being in that space? Did it make you really nostalgic or miss, you know, the food you'd grown up with?
It definitely made me miss the food I'd grown up with. It also, it made, like, for some reason, I never thought of Nigerian food as something that you could make in America. Right. Like, I never thought of, like, the ingredients that we use in Nigerian cooking as something that could be found here.
Before so, you went to that restaurant?
Before I went to that restaurant. Oh. So, like, going to that restaurant was just, like, how, like, I kept asking so many questions. Like, where do you find palm oil? Like, where do you find, you know, like fermented locust bean. Like, I didn't know that they had this here.
Was
you
it
know?
So comforting to have that? I mean, did it feel like you were at home?
It felt like I was at home. And like to like end a shift and like have a big bowl of like rice and stew and like end my day with that, it definitely felt like home. But I think at that point too, I wasn't that removed from home. This was probably 5 years into living here, and I'd gone back to Nigeria several times. But I think the surprise for me was finding the ingredients that I found. And that's sort of been a central thread now, even with Nigerian food. It's like, I do so much work into like finding the ingredients that I want to cook Nigerian food with. And so, yeah.
Yeah. So I read, you know, that getting into cooking and getting into food was a way for you to sort of tap into your heritage, and you kind of started to explore Nigerian food through a dinner series you created. So I don't know, you know, what the time last
was. There's
like
a 15-year break.
Right. So this article kind of made it seem like, and then that happened.
Yeah.
So I guess you can sort of like fast forward a little bit.
Yes.
Or I guess talk about like the thread line from the time that you worked at the Nigerian food and you got really into like cooking that food of your heritage to creating your dinner series, which is inspired by your immigrant upbringing.
Yeah, definitely inspired by it. So I feel like that was like a 15-year break where I just kind of went fine dining restaurants and worked in like French pastry shops and like, you know, fine dining restaurants and sort of learned the way food here is made from like a chef's perspective. And so like I worked at different restaurants, and in that time I felt like what was important to me was to learn how it's done here. And also in that time I sort of created a distance between myself and my heritage, because I, in the back of my mind, I knew that it was something that I could come back to, but I was more interested at that time in learning sort of like the ways of like the world that I had found myself in.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. You're here, you kind of want to take advantage of.
Exactly. And so with my dinner series, it's sort of me returning to my heritage and like being interested in it more and like, you know, finding that like it also intersects with my relationship with my parents, because we've also been separated for so long. The things that we talk about now are like, you know, I call my mom and I'm like, how do you make this? And it's like a way for me to connect to it.
Yeah.
And I mean, part of my story is also being undocumented and not knowing that I would be able to go back. And so that part of it sort of kept me apart from wanting to know about my food, because there was that fear that like, what if I don't go back? And so it's all like the behaviors of anxiety that you take on as like an undocumented person, or at least that's how it manifested for me.
Oh, that's so interesting. Like, because you were undocumented, you were trying to distance yourself from your Nigerian heritage, but part of that was even distancing yourself through the food.
It was maybe not trying to distance myself, but like not knowing when I would, like, if I didn't have to look at it, then I don't miss it.
Oh, right.
Type thing. Or that's how I connected it.
Because
in my
you didn't
brain.
Know if you would ever
because,
go
like,
back.
I didn't know if I would go back or like.
So it's not necessarily that you were trying to pretend that you weren't Nigerian.
No, it was more that I was trying to. It was my way of like coping, of like.
Like pushing it away.
Pushing it away.
Oh.
And so the dinner series is me, again, through food, finding my way back.
Reclaiming your time.
Yes, reclaiming. It's about reclaiming, absolutely.
Yeah. So what inspired the dinner series? I mean, after 15 years, what made you want to get back? Yes. Tell me.
So much. Tell us. I mean, I would... The election was definitely part of it. Knowing that I've lived in this country as an immigrant for as long as I have, and the portrayal of immigrants by this administration, knowing that I was one of the people that was being portrayed that way, and so, like, I wanted to create a platform where I could speak about these things, because they were also things that had been so personal to me and to my experience, and I wanted to sort of, like, stand up and say, like, I'm also an immigrant, and I'm standing in solidarity with all immigrants, you know, and I've experienced these things. And so, like, I wanted to create a platform to do that. And again, I go back to food. It's, like, one way I do that. A safe way that I do that is through food.
And it's what you know.
And it's what I know, exactly.
And it's how you communicate your story.
Absolutely, absolutely. So all of those things came together to become my dinner series. It's also been a really great platform to collaborate with other people who are immigrants, women, chefs. And so I wanted a place where people could feel comfortable enough to tell their stories. And, you know, it's all about also just reclaiming my heritage and like I needed a place. Like I'm a recipe developer, so I'm like testing all these Nigerian recipes and like developing them, and it's great when it's just me tasting it, but like what does everybody else think about it? So I wanted a platform for that as well. So yeah, so all of those things kind of like collaboratively worked to become the dinner series.
So what is it? I mean, is it always you cooking and then you invite people to come eat?
Yeah, so it's primarily me cooking, but it's also me inviting people to cook with me. And like, it's a, if you've ever cooked with, for like a dinner or like an event, part of the fun, like part of the great part of,
You're good.
The great part about it is the prep work and like the stories that come during prep and like, you know, the day before, like in preparation for this dinner. So it's been it's a monthly dinner series. It's once a month, at least for as long as I'm in town.
So it's still happening.
So it's still happening, but like I've been away for a while, so I haven't done one in a while. But it's really just a space where people. I invite about 20 to 30 people into my apartment and I serve them food. And we do things like put prompters on the menus as like questions or talking points for each table. And then we have like a general discussion afterwards. So that's
what kind of. Are there themes, different themes for each one?
So like the different themes are like sourcing, ingredient sourcing. I'm really passionate about sourcing food and like ingredient sourcing. And I, part
like
of the
where
challenge.
You find Nigerian
yeah,
ingredients.
Where I find Nigerian ingredients or what do I even consider Nigerian ingredients? Like, you know, so part of it is the story about where the ingredients come from. I've been collaborating with a wonderful woman who runs a farm called Oko Farms in Bushwick, and she, you know, when we met, she said to me, she was like, if you want, I can grow you what you need for your dinners.
Wow.
And which was just amazing. And I mean, she also happens to be Nigerian, so she's like, I can grow like Nigerian herbs, you know. So telling that story about her and her farm in Bushwick through the menu or through like whatever I put on the menu. It's also, there've been discussions about immigration, mm-hmm. you know, like what's a good immigrant, what's not a good immigrant, like people's like perception of immigrants, you know, sometimes I get like, you don't look like an immigrant. Well, what does an immigrant look like?
And you don't sound like an immigrant.
You know, it's like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
So like a space to like answer questions like that, but mm-hmm. also find out what other people think, like what are people saying, you know, because it's great when it's one-on-one, but like what's like all these one-on-one opinions is what feeds into like the collective opinion, you know.
Yeah. Has it changed your relationship with Nigerian food now that you are cooking it and sourcing it yourself, like as opposed to the way you were raised where you watched your mom prepare it and kind of not took for granted, but it was sort of like it was there?
I think has it changed my relationship with Nigerian food? It's made me think it's more amazing.
Mm.
You know, the things that, the limits to which I could push it,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I feel like the way I approach Nigerian food is so inspired by my background in food, my background as an immigrant, you know, my background growing up there. So it's the way I cook Nigerian food is not the way my mom cooks Nigerian food,
yeah.
or it's not the way like my grandmother cooked Nigerian food. It's very inspired by my training as a chef.
Yeah.
So it's made me pleasantly surprised at the ways in which I could push it.
Yeah. Is that, is the food that you cook at this point, like the Nigerian food, but you cook it your way? Is that your food?
Very much so. Yeah. yeah.
Like you've been, I mean, you've lived in different places, in different countries, and
yeah.
also in different cities in the United States, and
yeah.
you've been,
yeah.
through culinary school and worked at so many different restaurants. Like, is that the food that you cook all the time?
Absolutely. It's very inspired by those experiences.
Yeah.
So I go through this process where I start with a base recipe and then I sort of like tease it apart or like push the limits of it and see like, well, this thing is, you know, my mom takes it and like boils it and you know, serves it like that. But maybe I can boil it and, like, smash it into puree and, like, spread it out on a sheet pan and, like, roll it up. Or, you know, so I approach Nigerian food from a very, like, I guess, playful perspective. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, if I can't get yams here, can I use sweet potatoes instead? If it, you know, there's also that substitution going on where it's like, if I can't get the ingredients that I know are available in Nigeria, what are the ingredients that could use as substitutions?
Yeah. Has cooking Nigerian food here changed your relationship, like, with your mom, like, or, like, the way you think about her? Or absolutely. Even the way you think about Africa?
Yeah, absolutely. I think my mom inspired me to get into food. You know, I grew up in test kitchens because of her. You know, I knew that that was a thing because of her. She worked for Cadbury's Chocolates growing up. And so we were all always surrounded by, like, good ingredients, and she was constantly reading recipes or, like, the back of, like, a package to see what was in it. You know, so growing up around those behaviors and, like, around my mom doing things like that, even if I didn't immediately go to that place, I came there somehow yeah. because I had seen her doing it.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's very inspired by my mom, and it's, I think it's improved our relationship
mm-hmm.
because there's so much common ground.
Even though you're so far away.
Even though we're so far away. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick break. Okay. Stay with us. Stay with Yawande, and we'll be back.
The following program has been brought to you by Tabard Inn. Tabard Inn, Washington, D.C.'s quintessential small hotel, is located on a quiet, tree-lined street just 5 blocks from the White House. Vibrant yet unassuming, the Tabard is comprised of 40 sleeping rooms, each unique in character and design. Feast on eclectic American cuisine in their acclaimed restaurant, or enjoy a cocktail and listen to live jazz in one of their cozy Victorian seating areas. Mingle with travelers from around the world who find the Tabard the only place to stay when taking their travels to Washington. For more information, visit tabardinn.com.
Hey, you're listening to Food Without Borders on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Sari Kamen, and my guest today is Yawande Komolafe. We've been talking about her upbringing in Lagos, Nigeria, and her food dinner, or her dinner series, which is inspired by her upbringing in Nigeria and conversations about what it's like to be an immigrant in the United States. So food has played a big role in your life, kind of as like a form of resistance through the dinner series. But I know that it's also, you've been involved in other organizations and other sort of like restaurant happenings. Can you talk a little bit about how you've used food in different ways since the election?
I think food has always been for me an avenue for understanding things. So for like, you know, the one of the first introductions to different cultures could be through food. So I think that I've used food to try to understand or to try to get to know other cultures. I think that's a very basic perspective, and that's sort of like my lens to the outside world.
Yeah.
Is usually through food.
It's like the food activism that's happening or that has happened since the election, just like all forms of sort of like artistic activism
expression.
That I've taken. Yeah. I mean, that really is like the silver lining of it. And I saw that you were involved with a dinner series called Right to Know. Yeah. It's for undocumented restaurant workers.
Yes. That actually happened just before the summer ended, right?
Yeah, I think so. It was in Philly,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's based in Philly, and I was asked to do a menu item for the dinner in New York, which I actually didn't get to do. But I didn't get to do it, but I did attend the event.
Yeah, and I know that focused specifically on like undocumented restaurant workers.
Mm-hmm.
And have you connected with any other organizations like that, or like as an undocumented person, have you? I mean, it's like amazing to me that you're like so vocal about it.
Well, I'm only vocal now.
Okay.
You know, it's still something that I'm learning how to talk about comfortably, or like I'm learning. I'm coming to. I'm actually not undocumented anymore. I recently got a green card. But Yeah, it's something
that
I... And
that's why you feel comfortable talking about,
yeah,
like,
and that's
the time
why I feel comfortable.
Yeah,
exactly. And so, like, I never really felt comfortable talking about it because there was a lot of anxiety surrounding that. And I'm now learning how to talk about that experience.
Yeah.
You know?
Has anyone in the restaurant industry, like, or in the food industry who's undocumented, like, reached out to you as someone, I guess, to confide in or as someone to get advice from? Like, have you made yourself a resource in that way?
Yes, absolutely. Because I think that it's important to speak about these things as a resource for other people. Mm-hmm. Like, I know that finding out about stories of other people made me more inspired to talk about it. And made me think, like, wow, can I curse?
Yeah.
I was like, holy shit, like, I'm not the only one, you know? And there's there's something that happens when you're undocumented or when you go through things like that, that I personalized it. Like, it was hard for me to imagine that there were other people out there experiencing what I was experiencing. So I think it's important to talk about it because there's so many other people that are going through it, you know, and it's important to be a resource if you can for other people to confide in, and just be a support for other people.
And we're seeing that happen with so many different movements right now, like with the Me Too movement, like the more people are coming forward, you know, the more people are coming forward.
Yeah.
So
yeah, absolutely.
Speaking out is very important. How can we keep in touch with you and find out more about your dinner series for when you do it next?
So I'm in the process of, like, finally getting a website and doing all that. But for now, my email address, can I give my email on here?
That's up to you.
Okay, totally. So yawande@foursaltspoons.com. And that's kind of how I contact people about the dinner and, like, email them the information on the dinner. So there's a mailing list.
Yeah. And you're on Instagram.
And I'm on Instagram, Yawande_Kamalafe.
I think that's how I stalked you on Instagram.
Absolutely. Yeah. Instagram's a great way.
Have something in mind for the next dinner series?
I do. So I'm actually pairing with Yemi from Oko Farms in Bushwick. And we're going to do a dinner series. She's been doing a lot of work, like, preserving and canning and jarring produce from the summer. So a lot of the ingredients that I'm going to use will be based on what she's done over the summer.
And are they at your home?
The dinner. Yes, yeah. The dinners are at my home in Brooklyn, in Williamsburg.
Okay, I'd like to come.
Of course, I'll email you then. Absolutely.
I will email you.
Absolutely.
Yawande, thank you so much for coming on the show today. It was so interesting to hear about your upbringing, and it's inspiring to hear how you're using food as resistance and as a way to share your stories. And yeah, it was just really nice to meet you and learn about that. Thank you all for listening to Food Without Borders. We'll be here next week, Wednesday at 7 p.m. on heritageradionetwork.org. And you can check out the show archived on the website and also on iTunes and Stitcher. See you next week.
Listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.